Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for the reality of salvation that is being worked into each one of our beings, Father. We are indeed being saved, Father. And that process of being saved, O God, is growing in us. Its reality is unfolding in us. Its power is increasing in us, Father. And we know, Lord, that you are bringing forth in us a mighty change, a transformation, Father, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This reality of salvation, O God, is so important for us to know and to understand and to live, Father. And in living it, O Lord, also to be able to communicate it into the lives of others, Father. So, Father God, bless us, O God, with a true understanding of your saving grace. With a true understanding, O God, of what it means, O God, to function in your salvation. So, Father, even in this Module 6, Tape 1, Father, even as we talk about the subject of being born again, Father, unveil that with understanding and with conviction within us, that we will truly understand what it means to be born again and what is the basis of us being born again, Father. And so, Father, lead us, O God, systematically, O Lord, into your word. Enable us to understand, O God, that all of your word is intimately woven and linked, O God. And there are so many strands of reality, O God, that flow in your word. There is a true flow in your word, and it's full of life, Lord. And so, Father, we pray that as your word brings into us the realities of salvation, that we will grow and we will shine in the light of the glory of the risen Christ who is reigning King within us, Father. That in the brightness of the bright and morning star, in the measure of his fullness being manifested from hearts of flesh, Father, the radiance, O God, of his wonder, Father, alive in us, enable us, O God, to be the blessing you want us to be. Enable us to be communicators, O God, of your saving grace. In every form of our being, Father. In everything that we do, Father. In conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Let us be a living communication of your saving grace. Let us communicate, O God, in conscious terms, subconscious terms, and unconscious terms. We know, Lord, that this is possible by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And so we pray that you will make each one of us a living epistle of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. So let your glory come forth, Lord. Let the glory of your living word, Father, be released into our hearts, Lord. For you have glorified your word according to all of your name, Father. And we pray for that realm of the word to be invested in us, O God, so that we will uniquely shine, O God, with the wonder, O God, that you manifest in each one of our hearts, Father. It is the wonder that explains your salvation in our lives. It explains what you have done in our lives. It explains, O God, how wonderful it is to belong to you, Father. How awesome it is to be your children, Father. How awesome it is to be your vessels, Father. So we ask you to bless us, O God, today, Lord. Bless each one who is hearing this tape, Lord. Open our hearts to the understanding of your word. And let all things come forth in the name of Jesus. Let all things be explained into us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let all things be established in our hearts in the unveiling of your sovereign will, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of salvation. This is Module 6, Part 1. Module 6 will have three parts, and this is part 1. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Today we want to look at this word see. What does it mean that when you are born again, you see the kingdom of God? What does it mean to see? How do we see? We see through the word that comes alive in us. We see through the word that comes alive in us. That's why 1 Peter, shall we just turn to that? First Peter chapter 1, verse 23, I'm reading from the New American Standard, reads like this. "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. All right. The living and abiding Word of God, the seed of the Word planted into us, brings forth in us a reality of being born again. And when we are born again, we can see the realities of the kingdom of God. Something opens inside of us and enables us to see. And the reality that opens inside of us is the reality that is called revelation knowledge. Hello. The reality that is called revelation knowledge. Something is revealed inside of us. A new reality opens to us. And suddenly we see things in a different light. So the moment we are born again, the reality of revelation knowledge is manifested to us. We are able to see something that we could not see before. And it's very important for us to understand that that seeing comes out of the Word of God. You are born again with the imperishable seed of the living and abiding Word of God. Living and abiding Word of God. Something of the seed of God was actually manifested in your heart. What do I mean by manifested? It came alive inside of you and you could see a new reality through that word. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 tells us something that is very interesting. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Listen very carefully. The word that is sown in your heart must be understood. When it's understood, you have received something and realized something. So being born again is that initial breakthrough of being able to receive and realize the word of God. And that word of God opened inside of you with understanding. What did you understand? The Bible defines understanding this way. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10. The second half of that verse, I'm reading again from the New American Standard. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Who is the Holy One? Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the knowledge of the Holy One, something of who Jesus was, who Jesus is opened inside of a person's heart and that person is born again. They suddenly realize that Jesus is someone special. They suddenly realize that Jesus is someone awesome. They suddenly realize that they need this person called Jesus Christ. They are open to what he has done for them. Something has been supernaturally unveiled to them. Suddenly there is light inside of them. Suddenly there is the seed of the word inside of them opens with meaning. And the moment something opens with meaning, that person possesses a reality in God. Something has been opened in their hearts. So we need to understand that the process of being born again is not an emotional experience. It is actually a realization of a reality of what Jesus Christ has done for that person. Something has opened in that person. That reality opening inside of a person may result in all kinds of emotional experiences. But suddenly something opens inside that person's heart. Right? I heard the loud commanding voice of the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke me. And suddenly there was this cry inside of my heart, "Oh my God, God is real." And I was born again. Something of the wonder of Jesus Christ just opened inside of me. Why Jesus? Because having come from a Christian background, my reality of God always, without me even understanding it, always related through Jesus Christ. So when I said, "Oh my God, God is real," I knew that Jesus Christ was real. And that was what just opened inside of my heart. And that cry, "Oh my God, God is real," was in my heart and my witness for one whole week. And I immediately knew I was called for the ministry. Nobody told me that, but I just knew that. Something just opened inside of me. Suddenly there was a new reality. Suddenly there came into my life this conviction that God was more important than anything else in my life. That God had to be given first place in my life. That I had to discover who this person Jesus Christ was. And it was the most important thing in my life. It was the be-all and end-all of my life. That thought process transformed everything I did. Are you with me? But the seed of the word was planted through the teaching that that person who made the sermon had done. Right? Something of the word was open to me. I didn't quite understand what it was. But suddenly, when the Lord rebuked me for my hardness of heart, something opened inside of me. All right? So whichever way you were born again, something inside of you knew that the Holy One was someone real, someone genuine, someone you needed to know. And in Him, you have a totally new reality. The seed of the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. And something of Him was manifested inside of you. So if you say, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, the word for word is Logos in capital letters. He is the Logos. He is the personification of the Word. He is God the Word. And when you are born again, something of Him manifested inside of you. And what was manifested inside of you is also called Logos. Something of Him manifested to you in a subordinate plane. Now, we have been talking about that word substance. Substance being something of His person, His nature, right? His being, His character. Something of His spirit and His life. Something of His fullness is made manifest. Logos communicates the substance of Jesus' fullness. That is the living and abiding Word of God. Are you listening? That is the living and abiding Word of God that Peter is talking about. The living and abiding Word of God. Abiding means it is eternal. Living means it is. Now we have been. That Word stands in and by and through the name of Jesus. That Word stands in the testimony of Jesus. That Word contains something of the substance of His fullness. That Word opens inside of you something that is so powerful that it brings into you a totally new reality. Suddenly you know that God is real. Suddenly you know that God is your Father. Suddenly you know that you have a new tomorrow in God. Suddenly you know that listening to what God has to say is important. Suddenly there is opened inside of you a new reality, and there are genuine changes that come alive inside of you. But always remember that the unveiling of the reality of someone being born again is dependent on the Word of God, not emotions. It is not based on methods. It is not just simply based on repeating the sinner's prayer. Something of Jesus Christ must be open to that person. You must take the time to manifest that. Whether it's done in a big stadium or whether it's done on a person-to-person basis, the principle is still the same. You must open the word that pertains to the testimony of Jesus. You must open the word that will communicate something of His fullness. And all of salvation, all of the reality of being saved, is a living expression and realization of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. I was listening to a Messianic Jewish tape, and I was surprised that one of the word that they use for salvation is called Yeshuati. Yeshua is Jesus. Yeshuati is salvation, which means that salvation is entirely personified in Jesus Christ. There is no salvation without Yeshua. Right? There is no salvation without Yeshua. There is no reality of receiving and realizing the saving grace of God without the name of Jesus. That salvation is not a question of just learning a principle or understanding something. Salvation is tied to the realization of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. The Savior saves. He is the healer. The healer heals. Are you listening? All right. So we need to understand the Logos Word of God that unveils in a born-again experience as being a manifestation of the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Something of the Holy One was open to you. Something of what He has done was open to you. Something of what who He is was open to you. And suddenly you realized that He was important. That's why Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see because it has not been revealed to you. Correct? You cannot see because it has not been revealed to you. Right? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 11. And he answered and said to them, these are his disciples, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Are you listening? All right. Let's look at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So something has been opened to us. The reality of the kingdom of God has been opened to us. We are born again. And in the reality of being born again, God has in principle opened to us everything that stands in the kingdom of God. And we need to pursue it. Right? We need to pursue it. This reality of being born again is an opening into the kingdom of God. It does not represent the end. It represents the beginning. And God expects you to pursue what He has opened to you through the Word of God. It is very important that you understand that the Word of God has been given to you with understanding. That the Word of God has opened to you what Jesus Christ has done. What is the fundamental reality of the Word that causes you to be born again? That realm of the Word is called the Word of the Cross. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When a person is born again, something powerful is manifested. Something of the power of God opens that person to a new reality. It is like rising from the dead. Literally, spiritually speaking, when you are born again, you actually rise from the dead into a new life. A new life, a new tomorrow is open to you. And that comes only out of the word of the cross. So it says here, the word of the cross is the power of God. The Greek word for power there is dunamis. And that Greek word represents resurrection power. Jesus Christ did for us something through the cross. He opened a new reality for us through His faith and His love for God. And that faith and that love, right, was proven in His resurrection. It was invested with resurrection power. And so when something of the word of the cross opens to somebody, it comes with a power. That's why it opens. Right? And that power is the word of is of the word of the cross. I want you to understand something very important. The word of the cross, the reality of being born again, that first seed of the word is the beginning of what God, what the Lord Jesus Christ mentions as the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. I want you to understand that. All right? Why fulfillment of the law? Because through the cross, Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the Levitical sacrifices. Right? Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 2, Leviticus chapter 3, Leviticus chapter 4, Leviticus chapter 5, Leviticus chapter 6. In fact, if you read the Jewish feasts, you will find that all of the Jewish calendar, over 50-year cycles was characterized by sacrifices in the morning and the evening, every day. So the entire calendar of the law, the entire calendar, right, that opens into a jubilee of freedom and liberty from sin, unveils through the word of the cross. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those sacrifices. He opened that entire calendar to us in fulfilled terms. We will do that as one of the modules in this course, all right, somewhere along the line, right, one of the future modules. But I just today want to open to you the fact that being born again, right, represents the beginning of the reality of realizing the fulfillment of the law. Something that the law could not do was manifested into each one of our hearts. We actually came alive from our inward parts to a living conviction of what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Right? We are born again. The word of the cross also represents the fulfillment of the prophets. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is a chapter that you must read carefully and really ask the Lord to bless you with. All right? It describes all that Jesus Christ has done for us, this entire chapter. Right? Verse 4, for instance, says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." When you are born again, the reality that Jesus Christ has taken upon himself, your sins, your sicknesses, your diseases, is open to you. The reality of it has begun in your life. It will take a long time for you to realize that. But as you are being saved, you will realize more and more in your hearts as you grow as a Christian that Jesus Christ has actually set you free from your sins, your diseases, your sicknesses, your hang-ups, your fears. Right? All of those traumas of the past. You will slowly but surely begin to realize all of those things. And all that is part of the fulfillment of the law, but it's being proclaimed through the prophets. Are you with me? What the law could not do. Right? The law could not heal. The law could not save. The law could not take the burdens of our sinfulness. Right? And when you are born again, suddenly a reality opens to you. This reality called salvation. And in this reality called salvation, you suddenly begin to realize as you begin to grow into it that God actually has taken your burdens. That you can actually find a peace in him. That you can actually find a reality of being loved and being wanted, of being healed, of being set free, of being changed. Right? Are you with me? And all this is part and parcel of what is called the fulfillment of the prophets. Right? So the prophet prophesies, "Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Here is one of the deepest spiritual truths of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He took upon himself something. He was smitten for us. And because he overcame all of the darkness that we have, all of the darkness of our sin, our wickedness, our transgressions, whatever you want to call it, iniquities, right? Because he took upon himself these things, we can be set free. Because he overcame those things with his faith and his love for us. Because he was prepared to forgive us, even though we are wicked people. Right? And that reality, God opened to us a new tomorrow. Right? So you need to understand something. That when God opens the Logos word to enable someone to be born again, that Logos word brings into us realities that stand in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Hello. realities that stand in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Because that faith and that love is vindicated by the resurrection power that God invested in the Lord Jesus Christ by raising him up from the dead and seating him at the right hand of the power on high. We're talking about a spiritual reality. And you and I know that as that spiritual reality is explained to us through the Word of God, we actually receive and realize changes in our character and our nature. And you must always understand this when you minister to someone, that it is the Word of God that you must communicate into that person's life. And that Word of God must be communicated because in that Word, God has invested the fullness of Jesus Christ. In that Word, God has invested the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that Word stands in the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus explains the eternal and abiding realities of the Word of God. He explains the word called good, for instance. Who knows what is good? If we knew what was good, then we would be good people. We don't know what the meaning of good is. So good is explained to us in the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ that was put to test on the cross. And God said, "Indeed, my Son is good." And he raised him from the dead. The word love, we know nothing about the word love, really. If we knew what the meaning of the word love was, we would be totally different people. So the meaning of that word love, who is going to explain that meaning to us? It is explained to us through all that Jesus Christ did for us through the cross. And the Father vindicated the love of Jesus and said, "Indeed, my Son has loved you with an everlasting love. Indeed, my Son has loved you with a perfect and pure love. Indeed, my Son's life and his love stands available to you because he gave himself for you on the cross." Are you listening? Right? So the testimony of Jesus, right? The heart of the testimony of Jesus stands in the cross of Jesus Christ. And in the testimony of Jesus, God fulfills the law, the prophets, the Psalms. And in the testimony of Jesus, he's going to explain it inside of you. So the testimony of Jesus comes to you as the Rhema word. That Rhema, when it manifests inside of you with understanding, it becomes Logos. Are you with me? Logos, it becomes part of you. Right? It becomes the living and abiding Word of God inside of you. Right? It has taken form inside of you. The first time it took form inside of you, you were born again. But as God continues to bring more and more of His Word inside of you, the transformation process grows and grows and grows and grows inside of you. And as that transformation process grows, God enables you to want things that you never wanted before. Hello? Genuine change only comes when you want the change. You want to stop smoking, the only time you're going to stop smoking is when you actually want to stop smoking. And then God sets you free. The same thing He does with our lives. At that point in which we actually want something that is good, God releases it to us. Are you listening? So we're telling you something that is very, very important that you understand. The next thing that stands fulfilled in the word of the cross is called the Psalms, right? Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is called the Psalm of the Cross. Now all these chapters that we referred to, especially Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, I hope you will read them. You need to understand them, right? You need to spend some time to understand, right, what the words mean, what Jesus Christ has done for us. All right, let's look at Psalm 22. It describes to you what Jesus went through, right? For instance, verse 6, for instance, "But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by all the by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip, they wag the head, saying, 'Commit yourself to the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him.'" All right, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Right? So you find that all these are expressions of what Jesus Christ went through. And David wrote this 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came on the earth. All right? So you need to understand that the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ was something that was ordained of the Lord, and he was suffering so that we would be set free. That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus Christ, let's turn to that. Let's keep your finger here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Verse 15 and 16. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The suffering of Jesus Christ is something very important for us to understand. Jesus suffered to give us the blessings that have become to us a living and growing Passover. We are passing over from out of darkness into the light of God, into the kingdom of God, into the mount of God. The moment you are born again, you have entered into a Passover. Just as the Jews left Egypt and came into. And he said to them, being a people of promise, of having the option of going to possess the promised land, they were in a sense, right, reflecting the reality of being born again. Of course, they were not born again. The reality of being born again is a reality of both the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. In the beginning of this process of making us born again, God has begun the long process of making us the head and not the tail, making us a people of promise, bringing into us the potentials of a new character, a new nature, a new thinking, a new reality, asking us to rise and walk in a new witness. Are you listening? So it is a Passover. It's a Passover from out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he says, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The purpose of manifesting the seed of the word is fulfillment. When you are born again, something that God intended in his will was fulfilled inside of you. A new beginning was opened to you. A new life was given to you. A new future was opened to you. Are you listening? And everything in the revealed word of God has the intent of increasing that reality. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? All right? So, when we look at the reality of being born again in the word of the cross, the beginning of the seed of the word is the word of the cross. The word of the cross is the foundation of everything in the word of God. No sacrifice, no reality of salvation. So if you look at the Jewish feasts, you will find that they had sacrifices for everything. Every celebration was marked by sacrifice. They had 5 different offerings: sin offering, guilt offering, burnt offering, peace offering, meal offering or grain offering. They had 5 kinds of sacrifices, and they had several different types of feasts. And these feasts were like milestones in the calendar. And they had an annual calendar, and they had a cycle of 7-year calendars, right? And the 7 years ultimately dovetailed into a Sabbath of 7 years. That means 49 years. And they had something called the Jubilee, 50 years. And the Jubilee actually is a prophetic expression of the reality of salvation. What is salvation? Grace completed. Grace completed. The calendar was based on cycles of 7, right? The week was 7, right? The Sabbath, the 7th day was a Sabbath rest, right? And so you find that 7 represents the idea of perfection and the reality of being perfected. All right? Are you listening? Right? So the whole calendar has the intent of us being perfected and completed in grace. And all that is expressed through sacrifice. All right? And that sacrifice is the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus Christ is given to us through the cross. And the word of God is released into us so as to explain the sacrifice. When you understand the sacrifice, you will then come to appreciate how to handle the promises. Correct? Because in the sacrifice comes the character of the person who gave himself for you. His nature. Correct? His faith, his love. Now his faith, his love, his character, his nature were all perfect. Are you with me? That's why the entire Jewish calendar was earmarked by sacrifice. Because without the sacrifice, there was no meaning to the calendar. There was no meaning to life. The sacrifice was necessary for new life. The sacrifice was necessary for salvation to have a meaning. For that jubilee to happen, there had to be a continual process of the realization of the sacrifice. Are you listening with me? That's why John 1:16 says, "Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and the law told us all that we were sinful people. But grace and truth that unveil the reality of salvation were realized through Jesus Christ." Are you listening? Salvation is the realization of grace and truth. Grace to enable you to do what you cannot do. Truth to set you free. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now what is grace made up of? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. And it reads like that in the New American, like this in the New American Standard. "And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." So faith is a communication. So grace is a communication of the faith and love of Jesus. Faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Hello? They have to be found. It has to be revealed to you. How is it revealed to you? Through the word. So when that logos seed of the word was planted so that you were born again, something of the faith and love of Jesus was released into you. Make sense? That's why you suddenly saw a new reality. Suddenly God became real to you. Suddenly you had a year to hear the word of God. Suddenly you wanted to read the Bible. Right? Suddenly you knew that the scriptures were true. Are you with me? How did it happen? It happened supernaturally. What was brought into you? The seed of the word. What was it that was in the seed of the word? The faith and the love of the person who gave you that word. Right? Who explained that word to you through his life, his ministry, his character, his nature, his sacrifice. He didn't just come and tell you a great teaching. He proved that teaching through his sacrifice. And his teaching, right, was honored by God. He was raised from the dead. And that testimony of Jesus that explains the word of God is being communicated into you so that you will come forth in his image and in his fullness as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Right? Listening? Ephesians 2:10. "You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus." Created in Christ Jesus. Amen? Created how? How did God create? How does God create? Through his word. Are you listening? So the process of salvation is a creative process. Listening? Hello? All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." If any man is in Christ, right? When the seed of Christ is planted inside of you, when the seed of the word is planted inside of you. Right? Behold, new things have come. Behold, you are a new creature. You have the potentials of becoming an entirely new creature. You have the potentials of being created in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Awesome, isn't the word of God? Amen. So in being born again, God has opened you to an entirely new reality. He has opened you to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is a reality. It stands in a witness. And that witness God has to bring inside of you. When that witness is brought inside of you, you begin to see new things. How is that witness brought inside of you? Through the word of God. Rhema must become logos. Right? Rhema must become logos. So logos is formed, right, in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is the formation of the spirit and life of Jesus inside of you. In substantive terms. Are you listening? Right? In the substance of his fullness. Because of his faith and his love for you. Right? And you suddenly have the potentials, right, of unfolding in all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. So pay heed to the word of God. That's why your ministry must be built on the word. Even if you are a prayer warrior, you must learn how to pray the word. Even if you are a worshipper, you must learn how to worship in the word of God. Why? Because God is watching over his word to perform it. Right? Are you listening? Right? It's very important that we understand this. Right? That God is watching over his word to perform it. And that word being performed is the beginning of new life. When you are born again, God performs his word. When God performs his word, you are born again. The seed of the word is brought alive inside of you. And the seed of the word manifests in you a new reality. Listening? So what are the implications of all of these things? When you minister to another person, when you talk to another person, everything that you say must be based on the word of God. It must be an unveiling of the word of God. It must not be based on emotional stuff. You cannot bring a person into the reality of being born again through emotional mumbo jumbo. Right? It has to be the reality of the word. Right? Do not think that just because you make someone repeat the sinner's prayer that he is born again. Right? The Bible says that a person is born again through the seed of the word. And that word must be living and abiding. Are you listening? That means that word must come alive in that person. Your job as a minister of the Lord, no matter what ministry you're doing, is to make that word come forth. Is to make that word come forth. Is to make that word come forth. Is to communicate that word by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Because there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Right? So it is so very important that you understand the word of God. Right? Remember, the reality of salvation is an expression of the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Right? Let's look at Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now we read three parts of the scriptures saying that that the word of the cross is the unveiling, the logos word of the cross that brings forth the born again reality is a manifestation of the fulfillment of the law, fulfillment of the prophets, and a fulfillment of the Psalms, right? The Levitical sacrifices
The Jewish sacrifices are all characterized by sacrifice. Correct? Are you with me? So all of those sacrifices were pointing to whom? Jesus Christ. They are all meant to show you what exactly Jesus has done for you. So when we go into the details of salvation, you will find that we are going to talk about those sacrifices. All right? Because the reality of salvation is actually described in the Old Testament under the law rather than in the New Testament. All right? So you will begin to find that there is a deep meaning to what we are calling as being part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law. All right? So he says, what is written about me in the law must be fulfilled. All right? So when a person is born again, that fulfillment has begun. That process of fulfillment that is going to result in a growing salvation has begun. Right? We read Isaiah 53, where it records what Jesus has done for us. The prophet Isaiah tells us what Jesus Christ has done for us. Are you with me? Right? So when a person is born again, that reality has begun in his life. He took upon himself our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases. Right? For our transgressions he was scourged. Right? Are you with me? All right? So you need to understand that that reality has begun for that person who is born again. So Jesus says what here? What is written in the prophets must also be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. He also mentions the Psalms. He says, what is written of me in the Psalms must also be fulfilled. So we read one Psalm. There are other Psalms as well. But we just wanted to focus on the word of the cross. So we picked up the Psalm of the cross, Psalm 22. Right? And so what was written about his suffering, right, is being manifested in our lives as a Passover. When does the Passover begin? When you are born again. When you are born again, you left Egypt and you entered into the Kingdom of God. Hello. Are you with me? You left Egypt and you were opened to the Kingdom of God. You were born again. The Passover has been manifested in as a beginning. Right? And that has to be developed in your life. Okay? So, in being born again, three important things have already opened to your life. The beginning of the fulfillment of the law, the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophets, the beginning of the fulfillment of the Psalms has been opened to the Christian. Isn't it awesome? All those things that nobody could do has been supernaturally unveiled to you. And how lightly we take it. Right? How lightly we take it. Right? How lightly we look at the fact that we were born again. So many Christians just want to be born again and they just want to sit there. They don't want to pursue the greater realities of what God has opened to them. Right? Because in the fulfillment of the law, the prophets and the Psalms, God is going to unveil you as a brand new creation. Right? You're going to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why has it got to be in Christ Jesus? Because if it is not in Christ Jesus, it does not express the prerequisites in which God can bless you. Right? If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not going to live very long. Right? You're going to die of your own sinfulness. Because we are only righteous in Christ Jesus. We are only righteous through what we have received in Him and by Him and through Him. We can only be holy to God through Christ Jesus. Right? It is His Spirit that is the Spirit of holiness. Correct? Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and His Spirit was declared to be the Spirit of holiness. Right? So how are you going to be holy? In Christ Jesus. What does Christ represent? The Anointed One. What does the anointing represent? His Spirit. Right? His Spirit. His Spirit of holiness makes you holy to God. Listening? Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that. It is only in Christ Jesus that we are blessed. Right? Because if you look at history, right, the Jewish people who were under the law were blessed. They could not hold the blessing. Right? They could not hold the blessing. They were given a promised land and they were told that God would bless them. He would make them the chosen people amongst the people of the earth. Right? It was never really fulfilled. It could not be fulfilled. Why? Because they broke God's law. Right? So Jesus Christ came to manifest the fulfillment of all of the promises of God's word. So Jesus Christ came so that the word of God could be explained in new life in all of us. Always remember this. The purpose of the word is to unfold new life. So the word of the cross is the power of God. And the power of God enables you to live as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You are slowly receiving and realizing those realities of a new creation. Praise the Lord. Are you listening, brethren? Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Greek word there is logos. Alright, how are you born again? Through the indestructible, imperishable word of God. What does he say here? That the word of God, that God has given you, right, stands forever. Correct? It stands forever. He says, my words to you will not pass away. Are you listening? Alright? Praise the Lord. So, it is that Logos word being manifested into you, right? Where you realize it as the living and abiding word. That word is what is indestructible, imperishable. It opens to you new life. All right? Okay, let's look at this in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you. Now the Greek word for words there is also logos. When I first saw that, I said, why did you write logos? It should be rhema. Until I understood that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. But they can only be fulfilled in logos terms. That's why he says, my words. These are my words to you. Right? So he says, these are my words which I spoke to you. Right? Now we would normally think the spoken word is rhema. But he is saying here, these are my words which I spoke to you. Which just means that the words that I speak to you, when they have become received and realized inside of you, they will unveil to you the realities that stand in the fulfillment of the law, the prophets and the Psalms. The fulfillment. Are you with me? Fulfillment is always in logos terms. So being born again, when a Christian is born again, God has opened to you the reality of fulfillment. And I want you to understand that this is something awesome. Because it is a beginning of a life that is full of fulfillment. The potentials of fulfillment in the life of every born again Christian is literally limitless. Are you with me? But how many Christians want to hear the word of God? They want things that tickle their ear. They don't want to hear the hard things in the word of God. You see, that's where Satan has defeated the church. He has defeated the church by stopping the church from receiving the word of God. And history has proven it. Over and over and over again. The church has got into practices that do not stand anywhere in relation to God's word. So often. So if we are going to enter into this reality of salvation and grow into this reality of salvation, we must receive the Logos word of the cross. Let's go back to that verse again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Being saved. We are being saved. Being born again is the beginning of this process of being saved. But the whole reality of being saved stands in the word of the cross. And the whole reality of being saved is entirely of the power of God. It is not of yourself. Listening? Right? It is of the power of God. Now let's turn to another verse to just go through that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right? Verse 6 and 7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. When you are born again, what has happened to you? Light has shone out of darkness. Correct? For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power, dunamis, may be of God and not from ourselves. Listening, guys. Salvation. The realities of that salvation, that growing reality of salvation, must be 100% of the surpassing greatness of the power of God. You listening? You remember that teaching on the revelation knowledge, the revelation of Jesus Christ? That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. It is our duty. But that surpassing greatness of his power comes to you only in the Logos word, that living and abiding Logos word of God. Listening, people. So the Logos word of the cross is to us who are being saved the power of God. And the power must be of God or salvation stops. Isn't that good news? Salvation must be of the power of God or it stops. Amen. So listen to the word of God and learn how to communicate the word of God, not human emotions. Hello, you can tell your testimonies, people can get touched by it, but people cannot get saved by that. It has to be the word of God. A testimony is just a prelude to that person hearing, but you must manifest the word of God. So many times we just emotionally get carried away. We touch somebody's emotions and we think we have done the job. We have not. The person can only be born again through the word of God. And the word of God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can move a person's heart by telling how you were healed, how you were healed by cancer, and how Jesus came into your room and he lifted you out of the bed and you were instantly healed or something like that. It sounds awesome. But you have always got to translate that testimony to the reality that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Lord. Because if that person doesn't get that, you have done nothing for that person. All you have done is to touch that person's emotions. Hello. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why miracles can move a person's heart to be open, but you have to penetrate with the word of God. If you don't, the emotion will last for a few days and then the person will forget. Because that is human nature. Hello? That's why the only thing that is living and abiding is the word of God. Are you listening to the word of God? The only thing that is living and abiding is the word of God. If Christians don't hear the word of God and keep hearing by the word of God, they cannot live and abide in Christ Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. Why does he say Rhema of God? Because the Rhema is of the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. And out of that Rhema comes the substance of the Master. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. The Rhema of God is a communication in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance that is communicated, right? The substance of his fullness, that is the reality of true faith. You listening, right? So we must know what we are doing when we are ministering to somebody or when you are evangelizing something. You must know precisely where you are going. Right? So use your calling well and understand that your calling has to be developed in the word of God. Yes, the miracles are wonderful. But it is the word of God that causes a person to be born again. It is so important that the miracle is explained in the name of Jesus. That the miracle is communicated in the name of Jesus. That's why we must have ministries that always glorify the name of Jesus and no other name. If we keep lifting up on high the name of men, then people will come to see men do miracles. And men doing miracles doesn't save anybody. Jesus doing miracles. You listening? I hope you understand what we are saying here today. Because we got to be smart. Because the devil always defeats us by bringing forth substitutes for the name of Jesus. And sometimes, and it's so easy to do that because he always brings out a great principle. And lo and behold, we fall for the great principle. And lo and behold, we have now found life by principle instead of life by Jesus. If you can find life by principle, then Jesus is a liar because he said, I am the life. So we need to understand that. And Satan has done that over and over and over again. So we need to communicate the word of God. And the word of God stands in the name of Jesus. Being born again is entirely a word-defined reality. Being saved is entirely a word-defined reality in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that word-defined reality stands in resurrection power. It does not stand in the cleverness of men. Shall we pray? Father, give us the wisdom and the understanding to know what has been said today, Father. To know and understand, Lord, that for someone to be born again, he has to receive the Logos word of God. And that Logos word has to become living and abiding in that person. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the work that is manifested, O God, only in the name of Jesus. So teach us to know and understand that any substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ prevents the gospel from going forth. Any kind of substitute, O God, that denies the name of Jesus, no matter how subtly it comes, Father, just weakens the whole message that we have, Father. So enable us to know that being born again is a reality of the word, being saved is a reality of the word, and all of the reality of the word has to be defined in the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be established in the faith of Jesus, and it has to be fulfilled in His love. Because without the faith and love of Jesus, there is no reality of grace either. So enable us to hear what the Word of God is saying. Enable us to understand what the Word of God is saying. And enable us, O God, not to reduce the Word of God to the levels of our intellect, Father. So what may sound good to us, Father, may not be good at all, unless it is a reality developed in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So train us, so that we will always do all things by the Spirit in Jesus' name. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.